Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we're in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, talking with Sarah Coulter with Calumet Collaborative. Good morning, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
And just to start off, why don't you tell us a little bit about you as an individual?
Wow, that's a great question. So my background is varied. I grew up in southeast Wisconsin. I went to college in Colorado and then transferred to a school called the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, and traveled all throughout the world to South America, to Europe, all working in community building and education.
So on mission type trips?
No, not necessarily mission, but more service oriented.
Okay.
Sometimes people confuse mission and service. When I wasn't a missionary spreading the word of God, which
gotcha.
I have no
gotcha.
Problem with.
Gotcha. Okay.
But working, doing service.
Gotcha. So that brings us to the Calumet Collaborative. Why don't you just go ahead and first, kind of, it's a new program, and just kind of explain what it is and give the background to it and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. The Calumet Collaborative is a brand new nonprofit organization. And by brand new, I mean it started officially in January of 2017. It originated off of a program or a partnership called the Millennium Reserve, which was an Illinois state initiative started by Governor Quinn in 2012. In 2013, they seated a steering committee, and the objective of the partnership was to do sustainable development or work on programs, projects, and initiatives within the south side of Chicago and the south portion of Cook County.
Okay.
From there, the Millennium Reserve identified 14 priority projects and started work collaboratively with the steering committee organizations. When Governor Rauner was elected in 2015, things became uncertain on whether or not this was a program created by Governor Quinn in 2012 would be continued.
Okay.
So the steering committee determined that this was of value, that they were making really great progress, and that this should be continued. However, it should be continued in the manner that it was originally intended, which was intended to be a bi-state organization.
Okay.
So incorporating the entire Calumet region, which we define as Southeast Chicago, South Cook County, and the three counties of Northwest Indiana.
So it was originally bi-state. It just kind of drifted away a little bit?
Well, being a state of Illinois initiative
gotcha.
And not having a staff person to run it, it fell to state agencies to run it. And in particular, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources was really the leader in getting the Millennium Reserve up and running. With their mandate to serve Illinois, it didn't necessarily reach the Northwest Indiana portion.
Gotcha. So the main objective of why was the DNR in charge, I guess?
Well, a lot of the programs, projects, and initiatives of the Millennium Reserve were nature-based,
okay.
Related to ecotourism, recreation, conservation and remediation, those types of projects. There were a number, or a handful, I should say, of economic development tools or programs that were initiated, in particular brownfield redevelopment and general economic development as well as workforce development.
Okay. So it's really got multifacets to the whole thing.
Absolutely.
So from the original project to what it looks like now, is it a lot different? Same objective? How did it morph over the time?
I would say it has the same objective, to work collaboratively, cross-sectorally, so cross-sectorally meaning with community organizations, economic development or industry, as well as environmental organizations and grassroots individuals, to work together to solve the region's challenges, our issues, and do this by highlighting the assets and opportunities or working to bring a bigger magnifier of the potential of the Calumet region.
So the original defined, I think you said 14 things. Mm-hmm. Did those flow over to the new, or is it different?
No, that was one of the changes that the there was a 6 month planning process that was done in the fall of 2016 that brought together over 85 different individuals from organizations in Northwest Indiana, South Cook County, and Southeast Chicago to identify what it is that we can work on in two different states that would benefit the region, that would have the impact that we're looking for in the region. And from that process, we determined that the scope of the Millennium Reserve was a little narrow. There was no way to add projects. There was no way to add individuals to that steering committee because it was mandated by the governor of who could be on that steering committee. So we changed a number of different things in the, and we call it the evolution of the Millennium Reserve into the Calumet Collaborative as a standalone independent nonprofit organization with distinct and different methods of working together than what the Millennium Reserve had.
So the old entity was under the state government, and now there's no state involvement whatsoever. It's a separate entity. Is that?
Not quite. So okay. It wasn't necessarily under the state. It was an independent partnership. It would just was guided or I don't want to say fully staffed by the state, but it fell to state staff or state employees to coordinate the meetings of the steering committee to spend a considerable amount of a staff capacity in getting different working groups up and running. Okay. So that was what the state did in Millennium Reserve times. One thing I didn't mention is that in both iterations, the pre-Calumet Collaborative had a state agency task force that was put in place by the governor and subsequently was put in place by Governor Rauner in his executive order. And that state agency task force is made up of six different Illinois state agencies that work together with Calumet Collaborative staff and leadership to identify ways they can reduce red tape, leverage funding resources that the state and federal agencies have to offer, as well as provide technical assistance to the collaborative as we move forward on our initiatives.
So you said funding. Is it fully funded by the state, or is it?
No, it receives no state funding.
It's,
The Calumet Collaborative is actually funded by three different funders. The Chicago Community Trust, the ArcelorMittal Foundation, as well as the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation.
Okay. So you mentioned sustainable development. Can you kind of talk about what that is?
Yeah. Everyone has a different definition of sustainable development, but as we define it, we look at economic and community development with the integrated lens of community, economy, and environment. Without those three working together, it's not going to be a long-term, long-view type of work. So we want strong, vibrant, responsible, and viable communities of economy, community, and environment. So the environments have to be thriving. The economy needs to be responsible and viable, and then the communities need to be livable.
Right. Yeah, because you have one of those fall and then the other two kind of suffer as well.
Exactly.
So you said 86 people were involved in the planning phase. With that many bodies involved, is it hard to get a narrow focus on something, or is it beneficial to have that many viewpoints?
I think in developing the core of the organization, it was really beneficial. One of the things that we intend to do at the Calumet Collaborative and will continue to do is that we want to be as inclusive of as possible for the work that we do. A lot of times people think that there's only grassroots support and they don't get enough to move their issues forward. A lot of times there's a grass tops, which we refer to grass tops to grassroots, kind of blending those two together. So where are the people that have the influence? Where are the people that have the capacity? Where are the people that have the funding to make these projects a reality through action? But where are the people that are on the ground and living in these communities, working on different issues? And how do we bring those two together? And that's what our goal is.
Very good. So with all the initial kind of focus, or maybe the broad focus when you started in 2017, do you have specific things that you guys are working on right now?
Absolutely. We have, as determined through our organizational planning process, we've identified four different initiatives that fit into our four different focus areas. Our four focus areas are economic opportunity, livable communities, culture and heritage, and environment. So within each of those buckets, we have fit an initiative that the Calumet Collaborative will be leading. So the first one we're leading is the redevelopment of brownfields. So looking at the entire Calumet region and the brownfields in the region and identifying what the highest and best use might be and prioritizing work to put those pieces of properties, those idle properties, back into productive reuse.
And why don't you just define what a brownfield is?
A brownfield is an inactive piece of land that has perceived or very real issues of contamination or has previously housed hazardous materials, and they're not back into productive use. So they sit idle and kind of languish throughout the region.
So you said sometimes it's perceived. So How do you, if there is no real contamination, how do you get that perception away and back into a viable piece of land?
Right. So brownfields is a very complicated issue, and I can't pretend to be the expert on that. But I know in many of my experiences that a former factory used to be located on a property, and it's a huge piece of property. And it turns out the real level of contamination or any type of contamination at all is actually in one corner of the property where they used to dump all their oil or contaminants or whatnot. Right. So here's this huge plot of land. It's vacant. It's sitting there. They knew the company worked with heavy metals or whatever potential hazardous substances. But then really the contamination is in a localized
somewhat
area.
Contained.
Yep.
Okay. So have you guys identified any specific brownfields that is the first project to get after?
No, the Calumet Collaborative actually just received a grant from the Chicago Community Trust of $50,000 to do an assessment and mapping tool to take all of the work that has been done individually in different organizations throughout the region, pull this data together, put some GIS layers over that to identify inundation areas, perhaps historic uses of this these lands, working with land banks and other economic redevelopment organizations to learn more about what they have done as far as currently on pieces of land, as well as best practices, to then really take a 50,000-foot view of brownfield and start narrowing in on what are the projects that we can actually take action on. The Calumet Collaborative is really not necessarily, or is definitely not, an organization that wants to talk about issues. They're an organization that wants to take action. So how do we leverage funding as a bi-state organization to get the EPA to dedicate funds to remediate brownfield properties in both Indiana and Illinois?
And I guess your name is fitting for that, the collaborative side, because getting so many groups, like you said, there's groups doing this and doing that and doing, and then none of them talk to each other. So being able to have a central location where they all can intercommunicate, I think there's many levels of government that need that interaction. So
yeah, the Calumet Collaborative has set up a pretty intentional leadership outline or skeleton. We have 9 different board members, all representing the 3 different geographies we've identified as Indiana, Illinois, and those organizations that work in a bi-state capacity. Mm-hmm. And from those 9, we have an additional 30 advisory council members, again, with that differentiation of the geography, but also the differentiation of the sectors of community, economy, and environment, so that we're bringing together 39 different organizations that represent different aspects of sustainable development together in a room to figure out solutions to the challenges that we face.
And how often are you guys getting that group together?
We meet on a quarterly basis, but from that group and our 4 different initiatives, and I mentioned brownfields earlier, we also are working on wayfinding or placemaking, advancing the Calumet National Heritage Area, as well as bi-state conservation strategies. And those 4 different groups have advisory council member organizations as part of them, but then we actually open it up to a broader group and through the working group. So the board determined the initiatives. The advisory council determined the direction that the group will go in that initiative. And then that working group will bring in related subject matter experts or those with expertise related to a different that particular subject,
right,
to come together and actually do the work and take action.
So it's really early in the project. You guys have only been around 10 months or so. Has there been any steps towards anything that kind of the original goal outline, or is it still just kind of work in progress type thing?
Well, an organization like ours is always going to be a work in progress.
Okay.
It's always going to be evolving.
Yeah.
It's not a set pattern. This is a brand new concept, or a relatively brand new concept, to get people out of their individual offices and working together. Maybe not as much, in green building, they do this a lot, getting people out of their individual desks or individual industries and working together, but not on a region or a community scale that we're working on.
Okay.
So to answer your question, although we're early in our work, we've had a number of different successes. So
okay,
we've received that $50,000 grant from the Chicago Community Trust to do the brownfields work.
Yeah.
We're working with Indiana Coastal Management Program to identify gap areas in conservation and land management in Northwest Indiana in the 3 different counties in Lake Porter and LaPorte County. And the wayfinding work group, are starting to bring stakeholders from Indiana and Illinois together to identify the places that are regionally significant and how to connect residents from Illinois to places in Indiana and vice versa, those in Indiana to connect to places in Illinois.
Okay.
So that may sound like not rocket science are really difficult, but it actually is a pretty big feat to do that.
Yeah.
And then with the Calumet National Heritage Area, we are working in partnership with the Calumet Heritage Partnership, which supported the feasibility study to be submitted to the National Park Service in Washington, D.C., and pushing that through the process, through congressional approval, hopefully, in 2018, to then have that distinction as a Calumet National Heritage Area.
Okay. So in the short time, you've done a lot.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
That's awesome. So at your actual office, how many people, whether they're employees or whatever, how many people are in the office per se versus the 39 advisors?
Yeah, so up until April, I was the only staff. And
okay.
In April, I was fortunate to hire a communications manager, Nicole DiMario, who's been fantastic. And we're also actually taking advantage of a national program called Public Allies, which is an AmeriCorps apprentice program that places those interested in nonprofit work for a term of 10 months for a stipend. And we're happy to have a public ally in our office for the last 2 weeks. Her role will be helping us to coordinate and systemize our processes as a new organization so that we can do our work more effectively and kind of lay that foundation for a solid and successful nonprofit.
Nonprofit or regular business, the systems in place are everything.
Absolutely.
If you're searching for things to do continually, then the process is not efficient or effective. So as far as the nine board members, who are the types of people that are involved?
They're typically leaders in their own respective industries. So, okay. For example, we have leaders from the ArcelorMittal Foundation, the Chicago Community Trust, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation as part of our board. We also have the president and CEO from the Legacy Foundation in Northwest Indiana, as well as NERPC, leadership from NERPC, Northwest Indiana Planning Commission, as well as Shirley Hines Land Trust, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
So it's been well received.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And if someone wants to get involved, is there a way to help to get involved in the program?
Yeah, absolutely. The obvious ways to get involved are to follow us on Facebook and follow our newsletter. But if you have related subject matter expertise in any of the initiatives that we're working on, I'd appreciate if anyone, those with those expertise or interests, would contact me, and I would get in contact with them and make sure that they're on the related work group that they have interested in.
And the work groups still meet quarterly, or is it more often than that?
No, the work groups will meet in between the advisory council meetings. So they tend to meet 2 to 3 times between each advisory council meeting.
So the work is actually probably at those meetings. The advisory council quarterly is kind of the recap of what's been happening and the plan to move forward.
Being a bi-state organization, geography and the length of travel is sometimes a challenge. So we'll do a lot of phone meetings. We'll do some in-person meetings, but really at the advisory council meetings where everyone comes together, continues to move the work forward, as well as to do a report out so everyone knows where the successes and opportunities lie, as well as where there might be some challenges that other organizations working on different initiatives might be able to help out.
Sure. And I think sometimes the people crossing over from their expertise into something else can be positive because they look at it from a different lens.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of the sustainable development. If you're looking to build a factory or expand your manufacturing area, but need to know where flooding occurs and what you can do to mitigate that flooding, a natural area expert can help you figure that out. So not something you necessarily think of. You think of how to shore that up and make it stronger, but you could actually make it stronger by adding ecological solutions to it.
Yeah. And I think the being in the room with all those people too, it also sparks things like that, like what if or how can I more easily before it happens than after it happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in this, you've been started since January, but you said there was 6 months before that. That's kind of been the evolution or the planning of it. And then a time before that where it was the Millennium Project. So in the time, whether it's been in the last 9 months or the 6 months before that, is there something that you've figured out or wish you would have known at the beginning that has helped, would have helped you through this?
Well, I wish there were more hours in the day. I think the biggest challenge is how to balance the programmatic side of an organization to the establishment of the administrative side of an organization. So the programmatic side is the real fun stuff. The administrative side, maybe not so much, or at least for me. Hiring practices and payroll services and 501c3 application processes and all the different levels of insurance you need for an organization, all of these different things need to be running simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I haven't enjoyed that. I think it's been a real challenge, and it's really stretched me personally and professionally. But I'm so super happy that I've had this experience in starting this new organization.
And the your title is actually acting executive director. Is there a time frame on that, or why is it the acting?
Well, as I mentioned, I was working as the senior, I was working as the senior program manager for Millennium Reserve when the Millennium Reserve Steering Committee gave me the charge to start working on the development of a bi-state nonprofit entity. So I didn't have the experience of being an executive director.
Gotcha.
So they gave me the title of acting executive director, and hopefully through different mentorship opportunities that I've had, as well as additional coursework that I've taken, that I will be named the full executive director at some point.
Gotcha. Just going back, people, you said if people wanted to get involved, are you looking for people to get involved? Is there a public, or do you want a public side of things, or is it more on the business level that you're looking for people to get involved?
I think we're looking for people to get involved in no matter where they lie, whether they're individuals or their businesses. My objective right now is to make sure that people know that we exist, know that we're doing this work, and helping to identify ways for people to be involved in the projects that we are working on. So for businesses and individuals at this point, because we're relatively new, there may not be a specific fit for them, but that doesn't mean that we wouldn't welcome them to participate in other ways.
Right. Because you never know down the road how they could fit in or be a service.
We're really looking at this organization as not a 2 or 3 year type of initiative. We're looking long term. This is a 10, 20, 30 year long organization.
Yeah.
So we want to be around for the long haul, and we're going to need a lot of different people's help and support throughout that time frame. And we want to just make sure that that we're known, we exist. There are innovative ideas happening in the Calumet region, working together to solve the to make a bigger impact in the region than we can individually. I think it's important for the residents and businesses to know.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of and it's not this way all the time, but I think sometimes Northwest Indiana is the redheaded stepchild to Chicago and to Indianapolis. So we like sometimes are feel like we're floating here. But the fact of there is that bi-state communication or initiative, I think that people, no matter where they are on the hierarchy of public or business, would appreciate knowing that fact.
Well, absolutely. And the point that we made sure that we have equal amounts of representation from Indiana, equal amounts from from Illinois, and then those bi-state organizations as well. This is meant to be a truly collaborative organization, truly collaborative effort.
And the economics and the environmental and all that stuff, you can't really tell where the state line is. Like, who cares?
Nature doesn't know where municipal boundaries are.
Right.
Work sheds are on either side of the state line. Story sheds and communities. I used to live in the village of Park Forest for years, and I would come across to St. John, and I'd come across to Schererville to do some shopping or go to a restaurant, and vice versa. So I really think that the Calumet region is really poised to work really well together because the issues and challenges and the assets and opportunities are the same on either side of the state line. And if we work together, we can solve more, we can have a bigger impact than we can individually.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my kids are involved in sports, and I spend more time in Illinois at the sports than Indiana sometimes. So you definitely cross back and forth and spend money on both sides and everything. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
The best way to get a hold of me is to either email me at sarah@calumetcollaborative.org or give me a call at my office at 312-925-2135.
Very good. All right. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.